Good morning. It is so good, such a blessing to be able to be here this morning with all of you. Now, on behalf of my family, I want to thank all of you for the continued support that this church has been giving us from the very beginning of our work in Coral Springs in 2013. This church has been supporting us from the very beginning, and you have been a great source of encouragement to us, whether you realize it or not. But as our brother Dan already said, this church has meant a lot to me even before that, through the mission work and involvement with the church in Paraguay. So again, thank you for everything you guys do. And also thank you for allowing me to use this time to share a little bit more of what God has been doing in the church in the Coral Springs area over the past few years. For those of you who don't know me or my family or don't remember us, my name is Mauricio Yegros. My wife, Kayla, is back there. We have three children. They're in the Bible classes, Nelson, Emily, and Lucas. Nelson is 9 years old. He just started fourth grade. And Emily's 7. She just started second grade. And we have the blessing of homeschooling our children. So Lucas, who is 3, he's a little bit in fourth grade, a little bit in second grade, because he's always hanging around and learning from the others. But our family works as missionaries in Coral Springs, as has been mentioned already, alongside Riley and Brittany Hendricks. When we first came here in 2013, we had just graduated from Fried Hardeman, and Kayla and I just got married, and we moved in May of 2013 to South Florida with the plan to start a Spanish-speaking church in the Coral Springs area. Initially, there was another man named Jordan Smith who was part of the team as well. And I said our family works as missionaries because our children are very much part of the ministry as well. They're very involved. They participate with us in different studies and different things we do. But also when we go to parks or different places where there are other kids, they are very evangelistic. They will go to different kids, and one of the first questions they'll ask is, do you go to church somewhere? Are you a Christian? Or do you know who Jesus is? So we're very encouraged by that, and we're trying to learn from them to be more like that as well. So they are a great help in the work. When we first arrived to this area, there was no Spanish-speaking Church of Christ in Coral Springs or any of the surrounding cities. And in fact, there was no English-speaking Church of Christ either. So at first, our services were basically just the 5 of us on the mission team coming together to worship and to study the Word of God. But over the years, God has worked in many lives, in many hearts, and now there are around 70 people or so that meet together to worship God with the church in the Springs. Our initial plan, as I mentioned, was to start a Spanish-speaking church in Coral Springs. But God had even bigger plans, which was to include English speakers as well. As I mentioned, there was no English-speaking church in Coral Springs, Church of Christ in Coral Springs. So now we're a fully bilingual church, doing the services completely in English and in Spanish. We most of the time have a side-by-side translation. We sing in both languages. We have both languages on the screen, and we sing one verse in Spanish, one verse in English, and we go back and forth. Although there has been many challenges with doing the services this way, it ultimately has been a great blessing to be able to overcome the cultural, the language barriers that come with the diversity that we have in South Florida. And it has been a great joy to be able to see how, despite the differences in culture, in languages, we can be united in Christ. Because in Him, we are one body. And it has been a great blessing to be able to be part of a bilingual and multicultural church. Speaking of that, in 2020, this couple, a Brazilian couple that had graduated from Harding University, moved to the area to start a Brazilian or a Portuguese-speaking church also in the area. They were wanting to be close to Deerfield Beach, if you know that area. That's the city where the largest concentration of Brazilians outside of Brazil is located, or at least it was then. I haven't kept up with the statistics, but they wanted to start a Portuguese-speaking church in that area. And while they were getting ready for to start a church, and they were also trying to recruit another family to join them, they were worshiping with us in Coral Springs, and they helped the work there a great deal. But eventually, the Lira family joined them in their team, and soon after they started the Brazilian church in Boca Raton, and now they're in Lighthouse Point, which is right between Deerfield and Pompano Beach. But as they started, we had the privilege to be part of that work as well, as they were getting started. We, even today, they're about to celebrate their two-year anniversary, but today we still go every other week to help them in this in their services, and are very involved with their work there. The Riley, the other family, they go 1 week, we'll go the other week and help them. They have helped us a lot, and we're trying to help them as well. It's been a great blessing to work so closely with them. They're hardworking, both of those couples, very hardworking, very great to work with them. Earlier this year, on March 10th, the Springs Iglesia de Cristo, the Springs Church of Christ, celebrated its 10-year anniversary. And we praise God for His faithfulness. We had a wonderful morning that day. We had several visitors, but we just had a great time of fellowshipping and being able to reflect on all that God has done through the years in His church and through His church in that area. As you can see, here is a picture of our inaugural service in March of 2014, and a more recent picture of the church. So God does indeed give the increase. Now, these past 10 years have certainly brought many challenges in many ways. In the 10 years that we have been as a church, we've met at seven different places, and that's not counting a period of about 3 months where we didn't have a fixed place, so we met at different homes, different members' homes, about five of them, and also some local parks. But about 6 years ago, we found this building, this place. I think some of you might have been there. You know how things are going with the prices and everything. So as you can imagine, the rent was getting pretty expensive. It's a storefront in Coral Springs, a great location. But our lease was ending in April of this year, and we had to decide whether to stay or to renew the lease and stay there or to look for somewhere else. We were paying at that point $4,500 a month in rent, and it was going to go up to $4,800 a month, which was way beyond our budget. So although it had been a great blessing being there, we believe God allowed us to have that place for all these years, and the church was able to grow. We were able to do a lot there. We didn't think it was feasible over the long run to stay there. So after praying a lot there, we saw an opportunity to work with the Church of Christ in Margate. I can't see the picture very well, but we talked to the brethren there, we prayed a lot, and they graciously decided to let us use their building. So the last Sunday in April of this year, that's the Springs Church, we started meeting and having worship services at the Margate Church of Christ building. And as they decided to help us, we hope that we can be of help to them as well. Like with anything else, we know there will be pros and cons with sharing a building, but we believe and we pray that the pros will far outweigh the cons over the time. And that church has been there for over 60 years. They are located on a major road, on a very busy intersection, very close to, 441 or State Road 7. I think it comes this far, right? But it's located in a really good place. It's surrounded by neighborhoods, and there's a middle school right across the street. There's a lot of traffic going by, so it's a really good opportunity. They have about 2.5 acres of land. The building is paid off, but there are about 15 or 20 people that meet there for an English service and a Bible class on Sunday mornings. There's also a Haitian group that meets also on Sunday mornings. They have a service in Creole. So again, it's great to be able to work with the different languages and cultures there. But because they are a smaller group, they have had a hard time maintaining the building properly. So we are hoping we can help with that significantly as well. And we hope that together we can help each other and we can help God's kingdom continue to grow and be strengthened. Since we are now saving a considerable amount of money by not having to pay the rent each month, we can put a lot of that money towards a lot of repairs that are needed in the building and just the regular maintenance. So we see a lot of potential in that place. As you can see, there is a lot of room for us to grow. There are plenty of classroom spaces. There is a lot of outdoor space as well. So if it's God's will, we hope that the church will be able to stay there for the foreseeable future. Our goal as a church, and as any church, is to be self-sufficient, to be self-supported, where instead of having to receive help, which we have been from other churches, from other people, we can be the ones sending help, as this church does and as other churches have helped us. We know firsthand what a great blessing it is to have brothers and sisters willing to help carry the financial load of a new church plant. So we want to be that kind of church as well. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we've had the blessing of receiving plenty. And now we want to have the blessing of being able to give as well. So although there will be and there are some significant initial expenses with that move to that building, we believe that over a couple of years, we'll be able to, Lord willing, get to that point of being financially independent, self-supported, and be able to help more other new churches or missionaries as well. In Acts chapter 16, there are some lessons that we're trying to apply both in the church as individuals. So I would like to share them with you as they also relate to the work in Coral Springs. And just as a reminder and as an encouragement, because I see that this church is already applying these lessons. But Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5 says, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." Paul, by this time in Acts 16, was a well-known apostle. He had finished his first missionary journey. We know from Acts and other places he could work miracles, he could speak in tongues, he could prophesy. He had all these abilities. So why would he want to take the risk of taking a young, relatively new convert along with him? He already had a bad experience with John Mark earlier. So why would he take the risk of taking somebody, a new Christian, a young Christian with him? Well, I think there are a few reasons. One, because although Paul had all these abilities to work miracles and all that, he was humble enough to recognize that he could use the help still. But also, and more importantly, I think that Paul realized the importance of preparing the next generation of leaders in the church. Paul realized that his life was at constant risk. They had already tried to kill him a few times. He knew he wasn't going to be there forever. So he knew how important it was to prepare the next generation of leaders. At the end of Paul's life, who does he write to? We have the second letter to Timothy, right? Believed to be the last, maybe, or one of the last letters that he wrote. And he writes to Timothy there as a person, as a man in a position of leadership in the church in Ephesus at that point. And he also tells him in 2 Timothy 2:2, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul really understood the importance of getting the next generation ready to lead the church. And we have been extremely encouraged in the past few months especially. There are specifically 5 men that have really started to step up, not just in serving, they had already been doing that, but more as leaders, helping with the decision-making process in the work of the church, and at the same time continuing, even increasing in their service in the church. 3 of those men have dedicated a lot of their time to help us with the process of moving to this new building, to the Margate building. We had been meeting, coming up to the move, we had been meeting with them every week for a couple of hours, and they were very involved in all the decisions, working all the details, praying together, encouraging each other. And even now that we have moved, we continue to meet with them just to discuss, you know, like a men's meeting, like a men's leadership meeting that we have with this group. There's also another brother, his name is Jesus. He's been part of those meetings as well, but he also has been teaching Bible classes on Sundays. After services, we have Bible classes for kids and an adult Bible class, and he has been teaching that class, and he does a great job. He has a lot of talent when it comes to teaching. He's very knowledgeable. He's very humble at the same time, but he does a really good job, and we're very encouraged, very excited about that. I have learned a lot from those Bible classes, and he came to us asking us to teach that Bible class, so we were very excited with that. There's another brother named Zach. He's leading a ministry called Evangelism Sunday, And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But before becoming a Christian, he was part of a group called Hebrew Roots. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but it's basically a mix of Judaism and a little bit of Christianity. They believe in Jesus, but they also believe in keeping the law of Moses. But anyways, while he was in that group, he was very zealous. He would go with a few other men from that group to outdoor events and take a megaphone and just preach to the people there. He told us there several times people would get in their face and yell at them, or a few times they threw things at him, but he would just keep preaching. But now that he has become a Christian, he's just as zealous for the true gospel. So he is in charge of this ministry. He really has a heart for evangelism. There's also more women that have been stepping up, helping with things like nursery and kids' Bible classes. Kayla has asked the women who have young daughters, when it's their turn to take care of the nursery, for example, to take their daughters along so that even from a young age, they can start being trained and they can start learning how to do that very important work. And we want them to understand the great value of doing that work, working with the kids. Every part, every work in the church is so important, and we want everyone to understand that each job, each task is extremely important in the eyes of the church, and also especially in the eyes of God. There's also another lady that has been helping more with the older kids' Bible classes. She really enjoys doing that, and she also offered herself to do that. One of our biggest challenges as a church had been finding men and women that would step up as leaders. So we're so encouraged, and we thank God that He has allowed us now to see this, at least in our eyes, a big step being taken in the church with these men and women stepping up. Some are new Christians, some are older Christians, some are young, some are not so young, but we're very encouraged by this. And we ask you to please join us in praying for these men and women. First, that God will help them to stay faithful to Him and to His Word, and also that He will give them wisdom, and that they will have the willingness to continue serving as leaders in His church. But continuing in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." First of all, note in these verses that Paul wanted to go somewhere to preach the gospel. That's a good thing, right? Yet God, through His Spirit, it says, did not let them go to certain places. So they kept going, following God's guidance until He has the vision of the Macedonian man. Paul was an apostle, so God could have forbidden him to go to these places in many ways, through visions or just directly speaking to him. We don't know how he did it. And although God does not communicate with us today in those ways, through visions or speaking directly to us, He does communicate with us through His Word, through the Bible. And it is just as important for us today to follow His guidance in everything we do. It's not enough to just have good intentions like Paul did in wanting to preach the word in Asia. We have to follow God's guidance in everything if we want to be pleasing to Him and if we want to have His blessing. Eventually, we see in the text that Paul has the vision. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So after he has the vision, they go immediately to Macedonia, as Luke says, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice what this man in the vision says and what their conclusion is. The man says, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." He did not say, "Come over and teach us more about Jesus." He did not say, "Come and tell us what to do to be saved." He didn't say anything like that. He just said, "Come over and help us." And yet look at their conclusion. It says that, you know, they're concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. How many times did somebody ask directly to you, you know, "Can you please tell me what I need to do to be saved?" Or, you know, "Tell me more about Jesus. Come study the Bible with me." Maybe a few. I hope a few. Maybe none. I don't know. But how many times has somebody come and just asked you for help with anything? You know, with money or with a ride or with moving something or help in any way? Too many to count, I'm sure. Too many to remember. People need different things all the time. People will always need things. But they all need the gospel. We all need the gospel. So we have tried and we will continue to try to recognize that when people ask us for help with anything, it is God calling us to preach the gospel to these people as well. If they're already Christians, we need to encourage them, to remind them, to teach them, to continue to help each other. Many times we wish people would just come and we could just teach the Bible to people without having to help them in any other way. At the same time, there are many times where people ask us for help, and it would be much easier to just help them with what they need and not have to worry about preaching or teaching them the gospel. But we need to do both of them. We cannot neglect either one. We need to help them, but we need to also remember that it's an opportunity to preach, to teach the gospel to these people. One of the main tools we have used as a church to reach new people and to develop relationships with the people in the community is through offering free English classes using the Bible. I'm sure you know several programs that do that, Let's Start Talking and Friends Speak, and there's others that we have used depending on the students or the groups that we were teaching. And over the years, we have studied with over 100 people, probably using these English classes, both in groups and in individual classes. And through them, there are 5 families now that are part of the church. And the others, most of them, or a lot of them at least, we are still in touch with and attend every now and then. But they have heard the gospel. We have had the opportunity to teach them the Word of God. And they know also where to find more information if they wanted to. But also we have been able to help them in a practical way, teaching them, helping them with their English. We know in this country it helps to know English. but we've been able to help them in that way and at the same time teach them the gospel. So also in the fall of 2022, we joined a program called Game Day, which is a club for elementary schools where one day a week we get to go to an elementary school, and after classes are over, we go and spend an hour with them. We first spend about 20 minutes playing with them outside, and then we have 30 minutes or so to teach them a Bible lesson. Now, these are elementary schools, public schools, where they are asking us to come and teach the Bible to these kids. We finished 2 years at one school. Sadly, that school is not going to be able to continue with that program, and we're looking into doing that in another school. We hope to be able to start in a few weeks. But both of those years, all the spots were filled, and there were people, kids, on a waiting list because there was so much interest. So we, you know, when they're there, when we're there, we're able to give them invitations or different church material. When the kids are picked up by their parents, we're there. We can meet the parents as well, and that is great. But the best part is that we get to teach the Bible to these kids, most of whom don't receive any other Bible instruction throughout the week. So we are grateful for that opportunity, and we realize that we truly serve an amazing God that has allowed us to do that. Right now, we're currently studying with a couple who have a daughter, and we're their go-to babysitters. A few years ago, our family were getting ready to go to a Bible study with another family, and as we were about ready to get in the car to go, they called us and they canceled the study for that day. So we were disappointed. The kids were disappointed. They were looking forward to getting out as well. So we just decided to take the kids to a local park for a few minutes. But before we left, we prayed and we asked God to help us find one person at the park that we could talk to, that we could invite to church, and that we could just start a conversation. So we left, and usually there's a park really close to our house. It was new, it was nice. But for some reason that day, the kids kept asking to go to this other park that was a little bit farther, not as nice, smaller. But since we were doing it for them, we took them to that other park. As we get there, it was getting very cloudy. It looked like it was about to rain. And we get there, and the park looks completely empty. But as we go in, we see one man sitting there on a bench with his 3-year-old daughter. We had prayed, we had asked God to show us one person to talk to, and there was one man. So at least we didn't have to guess who to talk to. So although he looked very intimidating to me. If you have tattoos, don't take it personally, but he was covered in tattoos. To me, he looked very intimidating. But I sat next to him, I said, just said hi, and he looked very, very nervous. He said hi, and I sensed a little bit of an accent, so I just asked, "Do you speak Spanish?" And as soon as he realized I spoke Spanish, he relaxed completely, and we started talking. He was very friendly, we met his daughter, and he started telling us how just recently, a few months ago, they had arrived from Colombia with his wife and his daughter. They were trying to start a new business, and life was very hard, you know, as we know, for most immigrants and many other people. And that, this was during the pandemic, so that added to the hardships they were going through. But we talked, we told them about the Spanish-speaking church, invited them to exchange information, and it started to rain, so we had to leave. But over the next few weeks, we went and we visited them at their business. They had a health food store or a restaurant, and there we met his wife. We saw that they needed help with English, so we offered that, and so Kayla, my wife, started studying English using the Bible with the wife and started doing that every week. And we started developing this friendship, this relationship with them, always inviting them to church, and a few times they were able to attend. But we were offering them to study the Bible with them. We kept asking to have a Bible study with us, and they wanted to, but their schedules were just so busy that they couldn't. But many times we helped them with babysitting their daughter at different times. Like I said, they would work from 6 in the morning to 10 p.m. at night sometimes. And if we couldn't babysit, a lot of times the daughter had to go with them. Life was very hard. But a few months ago, he called me and he said, "Listen, we've been wanting to have this Bible study for a while, and finally we've been able to change some things in our schedule. So if you're still able, we would like to study the Bible with you." So we've been studying them with them for a few months now. They were at our house last night, actually, for the study. And they have not yet decided to be baptized, but we see that they are very open, they're full of questions, and they seem very sincere in their search for the truth. So please help us also praying for this family. Their names are William and Diana. If you remember, please pray for them. We believe that soon they will make the decision, Lord willing. But through the years, we've been able to do different events with the church that have allowed us to share the gospel with many people. We've had, like most churches, VBSs over the summers. Many groups have from out of state have come, and from here too in the past, to come to VBSs for us. But last year, we were able to have our first own mini VBS. It was just a one-day thing. This church helped us with the material, so thank you for that as well. But it was a great time. It was very edifying, both for those attending, but also for the church. As it allowed us to work together, and we were very encouraged to see so many members in the church step up and volunteer to be able to put that VBS together. And it was a lot of fun, and it was a great time to grow. Also, we have done several family days at the park, where we just go to a local park to do a picnic, and we should have just a time of fellowship, and we have a devotional together, and it's been a great opportunity to invite neighbors, invite friends, through the homeschool. Kayla's part of a homeschool group she meets, and we meet a lot of families there. We've been able to invite them, and many of them have joined us at those events. Also, we're really excited to have started what we called Evangelism Sundays, where one Sunday every month, usually the last Sunday of the month, instead of having Bible classes after service, we go to either a local park or a neighborhood close to the church building, or we've been going to the mall during the summer. And we just go, either we take flyers with us, but we just try to start conversations with people and about God. And we hope that it will be a great evangelistic tool, but it's also helping us to grow in our faith as we step out of our comfort zones. If you've done it before, it's not easy. For some people, it's easier than others. But it has really allowed us to, through practice, be able to get better at sharing the gospel with other people. And we go, you know, together. Nobody goes by themselves. So we can learn and do that together. But the most exciting part about this is that, as I mentioned earlier, that Brother Zach, one of the members, he is the one who had the initiative for this, and he's the one in charge of this ministry. He used to be our neighbor many years ago, and we met them. We started studying with him, with his family at our home, and even though after they moved, and we moved, we still kept studying the Bible together, and about 2 years ago, he was baptized, and now he and his family faithfully worship and serve with the church there with us. As I mentioned, the church has continued to grow, there being around 60 to 70 people in attendance on a regular Sunday, and we continue to receive first-time visitors regularly, both through our personal contacts, but also people looking for Spanish-speaking churches online, and they find us, and we have a few families that found us in that way. There have been 4 baptisms in the past year, One of them was a relative of one of the members. She was visiting from Colombia, and during that time, the members studied with her. And she was also attending the services, and she heard the gospel there. So a few days before going back to her country, she decided to be baptized. Also, Aura and her son Oscar were baptized earlier this year. Aura is one of the people that first started coming through those English classes that we offered, you know, the English classes using the Bible. She very quickly became more interested in the Bible than in the English, although she had many questions coming from a very strong Catholic family. And her son Oscar, who is 12 now, he's been in Bible classes with Kayla and the other ladies since he was about 4. And we always notice how seriously he took the Bibles, and he always, even from a young age, had very good questions, sometimes very difficult questions as well. But we had studied with the mom many times about the importance and the necessity to be baptized for salvation, and she seemed to understand, and she always said, yes, I'll do it. When this happens, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. But she kept putting it off, and eventually, earlier this year, or at the end of last year, actually, her son Oscar started asking us about baptism as well. So we sat down, we studied with him, we believed that he understood and that he was ready. So he went to his mom and said, I'm ready to be baptized, I want to be baptized. So she was very excited, okay, let's do it together. But she kept putting it off still, until eventually one day, Oscar, her son, came to her and said, are you ready or not? Because I'm going to be baptized, whether you are or not. So soon after that, they were both baptized in the ocean. And we see a lot of potential in Oscar as a future church leader. He is very smart. He's very serious about life in general, but about the Bible and everything he does. He takes everything very seriously. Now, Aura also brings her mom now and another friend to church almost every Sunday. And there was another lady, I don't have a picture, but she was baptized in May. She and her husband and her 3 children started coming after finding the church online. They were just looking for a local church, a Spanish-speaking. They came, they visited, and they stayed. And after a few months, Rita, the lady who had not been baptized, started asking us about baptism. So we studied with her, and soon after that, she decided to put Christ on baptism as well. And now her oldest daughter, Ariane, who is 17, she's been asking a lot and showing a lot of interest in that as well. She actually met with Kayla yesterday, and they are meeting regularly and talking about different things related to the Bible. But the growth of the church there, from one perspective, you could say it has been slow, but it has been steady. And God has been faithful in giving the increase. Many times we don't see the results right away. There are times we don't see any results at all, even after putting a lot of effort into something. But we're trying to be faithful in doing our part of planting and watering and leaving the results up to God. Giving these reports, actually, for me, is very encouraging because it lets me look back and see how much God has actually done over the past years. And we have a couple of plants at home that we started from the seed. I'm not an expert in gardening at all. I'm just trying to learn. But I know that when you plant a seed, you put it in the soil, you cover it with a little bit of soil, and you have to water it regularly, and you still have to take care of it. You don't see what's happening. The seed is underground. You can't see anything happening at all, but you still have to take care of it, and you trust that if the seed is good, if the soil is good, that something is happening. And eventually, if the conditions are right, one day you see a little bit of green coming up, and it's very exciting. But it's also very humbling, realizing that all you did was just put a little seed and put a little bit of water. You didn't cause the growth. That's something that only God can do. And it's the same in the work of the church. We plant the seed of the gospel. We water. We take care of it, even when we can't see for a while. Many times we don't see anything happening. But if the hearts are right, God does give the growth. And we have seen the privilege of seeing how much God has done and continues to do in the lives of many people in the work there in the church in Coral Springs. We have a few minutes, and I want to thank you. And I don't know if it's okay. If there are any questions, I know I went maybe kind of fast. But if there are any questions related to the work, I can do my best to answer in the next few minutes that we have left. I don't know if anything related to the move, the work with the Margie Church, or anything at all. Are there any questions? If not, okay. I beat the first bell. But anyways, I want to thank you so much again for everything that this church does just for us personally. Again, the support that you have given us has allowed us to dedicate ourselves full-time to the work there for all these years. But not just that, again, all the works that this church supports throughout the world and the different ministries that you guys support is a great source of encouragement. We really look up to this church, and we know that we can count on you with anything we need and any time we need. So we appreciate so much everything you guys do. May God bless you all.